So thanks again to Carol for organizing and to OpenA for hosting. Okay, so what I want to do today is take sort of a well-known midrash about the Rachel and Leah story and analyze where it comes from, and what the story in Tanakh is really trying to tell us. The idea for this year, for the series of Shiurim, was to take different stories in Bereishit and analyze them from different angles. So we'll start with this one. So just the background, right? Yaakov comes to Lavan's house, and he falls in love with Rachel, and he asks Lavan, "Can I marry Rachel? Who's my? Do you want a chumash from in there? In the Beit Midrash? In the Beit Midrash, they're like,
where the?
Okay, so the." So he asks Lavan if he can marry Rachel, his first cousin, and Lavan tells him sure, but you know the price will be working for 7 years, and he works for 7 years for Rachel, and Rachel then and Rachel and Yaakov plan to get married, and then the wedding night comes, and Lavan tricks him. And he switches Rachel for Leah, and he ends up marrying Leah, and he realizes in the morning that he's married the wrong sister. And then he approaches Lavan, and Lavan says to him, "Well, this is not what we do. We don't allow you to marry the older daughter before the younger daughter before the older daughter." And Yaakov says, "Okay, I've been tricked, but I still want to marry Rachel." So Lavan tells him, if you wait a week till the end of Sheva Brachot, then you can marry Rachel and just commit to work for another 7 years, and that's what happens. Right? And he ends up marrying both sisters. So that's the starting point for the story. What I want to do is pick up on one midrash, which Rashi quotes, and try to figure out where it comes from in the story. And what we're going to do is we're going to look mostly at the psukim and see where Chazal could be picking up in the story to construct the midrash that they do. So, just source one is just the short version of this midrash. This is Rashi's comments there, where Rashi says, "Vahi baboker." So, in the morning after the wedding, "Vinehi Leah," he realized that it was Leah. "Aval belaila lo haita Leah," but at night it wasn't Leah. He didn't know it was Leah. Why? "Lefisha masar Yaakov l'Rachel simanim." So Chazal say that Yaakov had given Rachel signs because he knew that Lavan was a trickster and he was going to try to deceive him. So he gave her secret signs so that wedding night she could indicate that she was Rachel. So if he tried to pull a fast one, then Yaakov would not fall for it. "Uksharata Rachel shemachnisin lo Leah." And when Rachel realized that Lavan was in fact going to try to trick Yaakov, "Amra achshav tichalem achoti," she said, "If I don't give the signs to Leah, then that will humiliate my sister." "Amda umasra la ota simanim." So she gave her the signs, and she gave her the ways of indicating to Yaakov that she was in fact Rachel, so that Leah could pull off the deceit without embarrassing herself. So that's the one-line version of the midrash. Now, just looking at this midrash, you would say that if I asked you, right, first of all, come on, but also it sounds like Rachel is, oddly sanguine about the about letting her sister marry Yaakov, and it also sounds like Leah should be, like for the rest of her life indebted to Rachel, because here, right, she had these signs, she had the keys in her hand, she could have prevented the whole thing, and she didn't just for the sake of Leah. So if I just read this midrash, I would say Rachel seems to be oddly calm about the whole thing, and Leah should be indebted to her for the rest of her life. And that's what I would have gotten from the midrash. But if we look at the stories, now let's turn to the text. Right, this is not the story at all. So what we're going to try to figure out is what were Chazal picking up on and what were they trying to convey with this midrash? So the story starts in Perek Chaf Tet of Bereishit Pasuk Yud Chet. Okay, so this is the beginning of the marriage story. So Vayehav Yaakov et Rachel, Vayomer Evat Chashev Hashanim BeRachel Bitcha Ktana. Yaakov loved Rachel and said, "I've served you for 7 years." Vayomer Lavan, "Tov titi ota lach mititi ota li ish acher shivayim adi." It's better that I give you my daughter because you're a relative of mine, then to let her be married to someone else. Vayavod Yaakov Berachel sheva shanim vayuvei nav kamim achadim vavado ota. And they worked. He worked for 7 years, and it seemed like a moment in his eyes because he loved Rachel so much. And then at the end of the 7 years, in Pasuk Chav Aleph, Vayomer Yaakov Olavan, Hava et Ishti, Kamalu Yamai, Vavo Eila, the time is over, let me get married. Vayasof Lavan et Kol Anshei Makom, Vayas Mishteh, so we made a wedding party, Vayhi Ba'erev, Vayikach et Leah, Vito, Vayavei Ota Eilav, Vayavo Eila. So he brought Leah, pretending she was Rachel, and they got married. Vayitin Lavan la Zilpa Shivchato leLeah vital leShivcha, and he gave her a maid servant. Vayhi vaboker in the morning. Vinehi Leah. Behold, it was Leah. Vayomer Lavan, Mazot asita li. What did you do to me? Halo v'Rachel avati imach v'lama rimitani. I worked for Rachel. Why did you deceive me? Vayomer Lavan lo yasachin bimkomenu. That's not how we do things. We don't let the younger get married before the older. Maleish vazot, so finish the week of Sheva Rachel. V'nit not la alecha gam etzot ba'avodasher tavodi madi od sheva shanim acherot. And I'll let you get married for another 7 year promise to work after the wedding. Vayas Yaakov came. That's what he did. Vaymaleish vazot, and he filled this week. Vayitain lo ad Rachel bito lo lisham. And he gave Lavan. Lavan gave Rachel also a maidservant. And he also, so he married Rachel. And he loved Rachel as well, more than Leah. Right. So that is the story of the wedding that we mentioned. Okay. But now let's see whether, in fact, this story, the midrashic story built around it, plays out, right? Is Rachel really so calm about this? And does Leah show the gratitude we would expect if this story happened, okay? So, Pasuk Lamed Aleph. Now, the beginning of problems. Well, not the beginning of problems, the next level of problems. Vayara zanai kisinua Leah, vayiftachet rachma v'rachel akara. So, God saw that Leah was hated. So, he opened her womb, he allowed her to bear children, and she had children. Rachel remained barren. Vatahar Leah, Vatelet Bain, Vayikra Shemo Reuven, Ki Amra, Ki Ra'ah, Adonai Bani, Kata Yevani Ishi. And Leah says, she calls the first son Reuven, because God has seen my pain, and now my husband will love me. Right, so she's already a little bit discontent, right? But that's understandable. So far, she's not blaming Rachel for anything, but she's discontent. The second child is Shimon, from the language of Shema, of here. So God has heard that I'm hated, and he's given me a child. And then she had another child. Now my husband will come, will spend time with me, will escort me. And now he'll be forced to be with me. Now, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik used to point out on this pasuk, right, why the third child now got my husband will have to escort me. Right? So he said it's very common sense. It's until now,
she could carry both
in her two arms. Once you have three, Yaakov, against his will, whether he wanted to or not, she couldn't carry three. You only have two arms, right? So now, right, you already see, right, she's right, it's not just that she's discontent, but right, she's trying to force Yaakov out of Rachel's sphere, right? It's now he'll come to me. So already there's something, right, discontent, which seems to be translating into her attempting to bring Yaakov away from Rachel to her. And then she has the fourth son, Vatar Od Vatilet Ben, Vatomra Pam Odez Adonai, Alkein Karashimo Yehuda, Vatam Od Miledet. She calls the fourth son Yehuda, that I will now thank God, and then she stops having children. So then Perek Lamed starts, Vatera Rachel saw ki lo yalda li Yaakov, that she didn't have children, Vatikane Rachel Vachota, and she's jealous, Vatomer Yaakov, Havali Vanim Vim Ayin Meita Anochi, give me children, and if not, I am dead. So now we have Rachel, right, who according to Midrash should be totally, you know, sanguine. She's not calm, right? She's also discontent. Right, I'm as good as dead without children. Vayicharaf Yaakov Berachel, and Yaakov gets angry. Am I instead of God? We'll skip a little bit, right? So then In the middle, Rachel says, well, if I can't have children directly, so maybe Yaakov will marry my maidservant. So he marries Bilhah, and then Pasuk Vav. Vatomer Rachel, so now the first child born from Bilhah, which is going to be the surrogate child, as it were, of Rachel. Vatomer Rachel, Danani Elohim. Vegam Shama Bekoli, Vayitin Li Bein, Alkein Karashimot Dan. God has judged me, has carried out justice for me, so I called him Dan. So now, flip side, right? Yep. Does Rachel sound like she was totally okay with this marriage, right, of Leah? No, right? She's saying, oh, God has given me justice, which sounds like Leah committed a crime against her, but according to Midrash, she was the one that initiated. She could have stopped it, and she didn't. She chose not to. But she's angry, right? She's saying that there was an injustice done against me, seemingly not just by Lavan, but by Leah, because right, what prompts her anger is the children of Leah. She's angry at Leah, and this is her vindication. Right, and then it's even clearer in the next name she gives. Vatar od vatel Bilhah shivchat Rachel ben sheni leYaakov. Bilhah has another child. Vatomer Rachel naftulei Elohim niftalti im achoti gam yacholti vatikra shemo Naftali. Right, sacred scheme. The article translated: sacred schemes have I maneuvered to equal my sister, and I have also prevailed. Right, meaning this is clear. She's right vying with Leah. She feels like Leah has committed a crime against her. So both Leah and Rachel don't seem to fit the reaction that you would expect if Chazal's story happened. And then it comes right to a real four. If we skip right and here, you have more children. In Pasuk Gedalid, the third incident that really brings it home is Reuven gets older. Vayelech Reuven b'mei ketzir chitim. So Reuven gets older, and now it comes the time of the harvest. Vayimtza dudaim basad, and he found these plants, and we'll see exactly what they are. But dudaim, some sort of flower, some sort of herb. Vayaveo tamel le'aima. He brought them to Leah. Vatomer Rachel el Leah tina li mi dudae b'neich. Can I have some of these flowers, these herbs that your son gave you? And now Leah says to her, "Vatomer la." Leah said to Rachel, "Hamat kachteich et ishi." Is it enough that you took my? It's not enough that you took my husband from me. V'lakachat gam et dudei bini. So you're going to take my son's flowers. Vatomer Rachel, "Lachin yishkav imach alayla tachat dudei bineich." Fine. So you be with Yaakov tonight. As a trade for these flowers that Reuven is giving you. And then we'll come back to the continuation of the story in a minute. Right, so here is the culmination. And Leah turns to Rachel and says, you took my husband and now you want to take my children? You want to take my nachas from my children? What are you doing? So now we go back to the Midrash. Leah is angry. Rachel is angry. So where did Chazal get the notion that Rachel entered into this willingly, right, and that Leah should be indebted to her for the whole life? It seems to be the exact opposite of the relationship that is described here in the Psukim, where right, Leah thinks that she was wronged by Rachel. Right, she blames Rachel for marrying Yaakov, and Rachel is angry at Leah for the whole situation. If, in fact, Rachel had entered into this willingly, had done this for Leah's sake, the relationship that the Psukim actually describe does not make any sense. So what I want to try to do is analyze the Midrash. Now, this analysis I heard from a Shir Rabbi Foreman, which Ara and I were listening to together. We both thought that it was wholly convincing. And therefore, I wanted to analyze it through this. And in general, I tend to like attempts to understand what Chazal are getting at, what they're picking up on in the text that drives them to write the Midrash, what message they're getting that is, in fact, sort of the simple read of the text. So the most of this approach is from him. But you look at the Psukim and you look at the Midrash and the questions are glaring. Right? Where is this relationship, this beautiful sisterly relationship that Chazal described, where is it in the actual relationship we see between the sisters? Okay. So let's try to reconstruct the Midrash. Okay? Let's try to figure out where it would come from. So now let's move to the source sheets. In order to do that, let's look at... We have to find the original story, Right? Rashi quotes one line of the Midrash. So we don't know the background to the Midrash. Rashi only quotes one line to the Midrash. But where did Chazal get this story? And they give us hints as to what the source was for their contention that Rachel had, quote-unquote, given the signs to Leah, had allowed Leah to marry Yaakov. So you look first at source 2. Chazal are going to build on the following psukim in Yirmiyahu. So in Yirmiyahu, the psukim goes as follows. Shimu dvar Hashem goyim v'higidu be'yim mimarchak v'imru mizera Yisrael ikapsenu v'shamo kiroa edro. So the nation should hear that we're starting basically the Geula. We're starting to bring the Jews back, like a shepherd brings his flock back. Kifada denayit Yaakov galo miyad chazak mimenu, because God has redeemed Yaakov and has redeemed him from he who is stronger than him. Uva'u v'irnenu b'mimrom tzion v'naharu el tuva denay al dagan val tirosh val yitzal val and it describes this whole beautiful messianic picture that they will be living, in with wealth and with happiness, and that's the story. As Timsach Bedulam Machol, again, we're continuing, and the young women and the young men and the elderly will all be rejoicing. And then in the middle of Pasuk Yudbet, Va'afach di Evlam l'sason, I will transform their mourning into joy, v'nichamtim v'simachtim igonam, and I will comfort them, and they will rejoice instead of having pain. V'reveti nefesh gonim deshen v'imi yetuvi yisgu num Hashem. Okay? And then the Pasuk describes in Yudalid, well, why? What was the reason, what was the impetus for God to save the Jewish people? And there's a famous Pasuk, Kol Amar Adonai, Kol Biraman Yishma, Nihi v'chid tamrurim, Rachel mevaka al baneh, me'ana l'hinachem al baneha ki einenu. And God said, right, where does it come from? Because of the voice of Rachel that is crying, right? That is what he's responding to, and I should have put the even more famous pasuk, which is, I needed it. But the next pasuk is, right, ki yesh sachar lefulateich v'shavu vanim ligvulam, and there is reward to your actions, and because of you, your children will return. So we have this pasuk that Rachel's crying for some reason is what pulled at God's heartstrings and made him bring the geula. And the pasuk says that he listens to Rachel, ki yesh sachar lefulateich, because there is reward for what you have done. But what has she done? Right, what is it about Rachel that Hashem listens to? And this is where the Midrash enters. Right, so the Midrash in Source 3 is in Echa Rabbah, in the introduction to Echa Rabbah, and it tells another story. And it says that at the time of the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, so Ba'ota Sha'aya, Kadosh Baruch Hu Bochev, Omer Oili Al Beiti, Banai Hechanatem, Kohanai Hechanatem, Oavai Hechanatem, God is mourning the Beit HaMikdash. And he says, where are my children? Where is my Beit HaMikdash? Where are my Kohanim? Where are those who I loved? Ma, Aselachem, what can I do for you? I warned you. You didn't repent. So God told Yirmiyah, I'm like a father who made a wedding for his son, and his son died at the wedding. This pain is unbearable for me, for my children. I want to rescind this. I don't want to destroy the Beit HaMikdash. I don't want to send my kids into Galut, but I can't not. They don't deserve to be saved. So he tells Yirmiyah, you know what? Try to save them. Get the avot. Get the... Get the forefathers and get Moshe. Let them come and cry to me, and maybe they'll find justification for me to rescind this decree. So Yirmiyah went, and he gathered our forefathers. I'm Imdu. He said, "Get up." Shegiyas mancha temit bakshin lifnei Hakadosh Baruch Hu. God wants you. So miyad patach Avraham lifnei Hakadosh Baruch Hu. So Avram says to God, "Vamar ribano shel olam." And then he tells his story, and we don't have to read them all inside. But he says, right, Avram says to him, For 100 years, you said you were going to give me a son. You didn't give me a son. And then when I was 100, you gave me a son. And I offered him, I was willing to offer him as a sacrifice. I didn't have mercy on my child because I listened to you, and now you're not going to have mercy on my children. Remember my sacrifice that I was willing to quash my emotional connection to my son for your sake. Have mercy on my children. Patach Yitzchak v'amar, and Yitzchak says, remember, I was the one who actually sacrificed myself. I put myself there. I put my knife, my neck before the knife. You're not going to remember that act of faith and have mercy on my children. On my children, and you're going to give them over to their enemies. Yaakov says, didn't I work for Lavan for 20 years, and then I ended up with Esav, and he tried to kill me, and despite that, I stayed with you, and then I lost Yosef, and I stayed with you, and now you're not going to have mercy on your children. Moshe says, wasn't I committed for the 40 years to the Jewish people? When the time came to Israel, you said, don't even go in, and you know, I had a hard life, I sacrificed for you, you didn't even let me go in, have mercy. And God, none of this, right, sways him. And this is the end of this paragraph, what Chazal think was happening al Naharot, Bavel Sham Yashavnu Gam Bachinu. At Bavel we were crying. It wasn't just the Jews of that time, it was Jews of all history were crying. The Avot were crying and Moshe was crying, and everyone was trying to sway God and nothing was working. But the second paragraph, Ba'ota Sha'a Kavtsa Rachel Imenu Lefnei Kadosh Baruch Hu. So at that moment Rachel gets up and jumps up and says to God, Vamra Ribono Shel Olam, Galui lefanecha sheYaakov avdecha ehavani ava yitera. You know that Yaakov, your servant, loved me. Va'avad b'shvili laba sheva shanim, and he worked for me for 7 years. Ukishesh limotan sheva shanim, and when he finished those 7 years, v'igiyaz man nisui leva'ali, and when it came time for me to get married, ya'atzavi lachlifeni leba'ali b'shvil achoti. And my father switched my sister. And it was difficult for me. I knew about it. I knew that this was going to happen, so I gave him signs. So that my father couldn't switch. But afterwards, I felt bad. And I crushed my desire. And I had mercy on my sister. That she shouldn't be embarrassed. And at night, chalfu achoti lebaali. And I gave all the signs to my sister. And I even went into the bedroom. And every time Leah, so to speak, should have to speak, I spoke. And she'd be quiet. I was there so that he would think that I was, so that it was me. And I would talk to Yaakov, so that he wouldn't know my voice, my sister's voice. Vigamalti chesediman, I was kinder. I wasn't jealous. I didn't let her be embarrassed. Uma ani, and if I, shani basar v'dam afar v'efer, I'm human. I'm made from dirt of the earth. Lo kaneti litzarasheli, and I wasn't jealous of my co-wife, and I didn't embarrass her. Vata melechai v'kayam, you are God, Rachaman, and you're merciful. Bnei mak kaneta lavot kochavim she'ein ba'mamash. Right? I wasn't jealous of my sister, who was a real competition, and you should be jealous of the idolatry, which is meaningless. V'igleita vanai v'nergu b'cherev, and you're going to exile my children. You're going to let them be killed. So Ivim Bam Kirtsanam, let the enemies do what they want. Miyad nit kal gura chamava kadosh baruch hu. So God was filled with mercy. V'amar bishvilech Rachel, for you ani machzir Yisrael limkoman. For you, I will return the Jews. Hadahu dechtiv, and now it comes back to the psukim in Yirmiyah. Ko amar Hashem kol brahman nishman nihi bechi tamarim Rachel mevakel baneh maaneh linachim abaneh keinenu uktiv. And it continues, ko amar Hashem, God says, mini kolech mibechi, stop crying, veinech midiman, stop, right, don't cry out, wipe your tears. Ki yesh zachar lefulateich, v'yesh tikva l'achriteich, nu mashem v'shavu vanim l'gvulam. So Chazal think that this story, right, the backstory is this, right? This is the moment that God says it's that moment for which you get the reward. So that's the full story that Chazal tell, and that's the key, right? That's their pasuk, that Rachel did something, right? There's something that was so extraordinary about Rachel that it's better than Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe. And this is the story that they write. But we still don't know. Okay, so now we know that there is something. But what is that something? How did Chazal know that it was this? So if you look to skip to source 6, so 6 gives us a clue. So this is a Midrash Tanchuma. Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda. Right, it's going through the names of the Shvatim. Kol HaShvatim, L'shem Gulatan Nikriu. All of the children were named because of some redemptive process that came about because of them. So Reuven, Vayom Hashem Ra'iti, Shimon Vayishma Elokim Et Nakatam, Levi V'Nilvu Goyim Rabim El Hashem, Yehuda V'Amarta Vayom Ahu Odekel Hashem. So then it lists different stories in Tanakh where each of the Shvatim had a Geula. Yisachar Ki Yesh Sachar Lefulateich. The key to the story is Yisachar. Right? It throws it in. It doesn't tell us why, but it says, right, it now references that same pasuk in Yirmiyahu, Yisachar ki yesh sachar lefulateich. Something about the birth of Yisachar, the story surrounding the birth of Yisachar, is the key to this story. Right? That is the entire clues that Chazal give us. So now let's see if we can reconstruct what they were saying. Right? We have two clues. Right? We know Yisachar lefulateich, that something Rachel did was extraordinary, and that extraordinary act can be seen through Yisachar. So now let's return to the psukim we were in the middle of. Okay? So, you come back to Pasuk Tetzayin. So now, Vayavo Yaakov Menasadeh Ba'erev, Vateitzei Le'a Lekrato. So Yaakov comes back. This is the continuation of the Dudaim story. So Rachel had now just traded off the night to be with Yaakov in return for these flowers. Vatomer Eli, and Yaakov said, Tavo. Rachel said, Leah said rather, Vatomer Eli, Tavo, come to me, ki sachor sechartiha, because I've hired you, right? I've bought you, bidudei bini, for the flowers of my child, vayishkav ima balailahu. And so Yaakov slept with Leah that night. Vayishma Elohim el Leah, vatar vatelid liyakov ben chamishi. So that moment, sachor secharticha, leads to the fifth child, vatomer Leah, who is that? Vatomer Leah, natan Elohim sechari, asher natati shivchati liishi, vatikra shemo Yisachar. That child is Yisachar. So that means that something about Yisachar is the child bought from because of the Dudaim story. So that means the hint that Chazal are telling us is there's something embedded in the Dudaim story that Rachel did something at that moment, right, that gave her the right to turn to God and say, I was merciful to my sister. They all got it from the Dudaim story, the result of which is Yisachar. Right? And this, by the way, right after this story, right, she has one more child, and then she has Dina, and then Vayizkor Elohim Rachel, Vayishma'ila, Vayiftach et Rachma. And at that moment, right, Rachel has a child, Vatar Vatilet Ben, and she has a child, Vatomer Asaf Elohim et Cherpati. And that moment, right, is, right, Rachel's also gets her justice in this world, and she gets her child. And she says, my cherpa, my humiliation, has now been gathered in. Right? So, it seems that the hint, to the key to how Chazal conceived of the relationship between Rachel and Leah is in the Dudaim story, is the precursor to the birth of Yisachar. And so that's the hint that we have. So, right, that's what we have to go on. Still, right, so what is going on? What do they see in this story? What did they see here that led them to tell the story about the wedding night that they did? Okay, so let's go back now to the story. Let's see if we can figure it out. So, Reuven goes to get these, you know, dudaim, whatever they are. She gives them to Leah. And Rachel says, give me some of those flowers, or herbs, or whatever they are. So, we have to ask, well, why does she want them? Right, what was it about that moment? Right, why Rachel jumping in on this, right, that she wants, you know, these flowers? And Vatomer la me'ad kachtech li yeshiva lakachat gam medudei b'ni, right? And why does Leah explode at this? Right? If Leah was really angry the whole time, right, she clearly is. She names all of her kids, you know, about how angry she is and how much she wants God to pay attention to the fact that she's hated. So why here? Right? Why this is the first time she explodes at Rachel. Right? So the Dudaim story, we have the first time that Leah explodes, and we have Rachel, for some reason, right, she so much wants these flowers. So much she wants these flowers, right? She's trading Yaakov for these flowers. Right? What, right, there's something at this moment that right, that seems to be the key to their relationship. And then, right, Leah continues. What is she doing when she goes to Yaakov and says, Sachor Secharticha, I've bought you, I've rented you. Right? There's something very odd about this whole story. In fact, right, where does the language Sachor Secharticha come from? Right, we've seen it. Right, where we've seen it before? From Yaakov, where Yaakov said, right, the beginning of this story, right, he says, where is it? So let's see if you Rachel Avati. I'm missing the language, but there it is. It's Pasuk Tet Vav. Vayomer Lavan LeYaakov. Lavan had said to Yaakov, Achi, Ata Vavatani Chinam, Hagidali Ma Maskur Techa. Right? When Yaakov came to Lavan and he started working for him, Lavan asked him, what is your Maskur Techa, your Sachar? What do you want? And he answers, Ulavan Shtevano, Shem Dola Leav, Shem Akhtana Rachel, Vene Lea Rakot, etc. And this is where we started the story. Vayehav Yaakov Rachel, Vayomer Evatcha, Sheva Shanim Berachel, Bitcha Ketana. Right? The language of Sachar is the language Lavan used that initiates the deal for the marriage of Rachel. Right? Lavan says, what is your maskoret? What Sachar do you want? He says, I want Rachel. Right, so now we have an interesting language that Leah says, I've rented you, but the language is borrowed from the original marriage between Yaakov and what should have been Rachel, but ends up being Leah. Right, so let's see if we can figure out these three questions, and if they answer the key to our story. Right? One is, why is Rachel so obsessed with these flowers? Why does Leah get so angry when she asks for these flowers? And why is this the moment of where she says, right, this is, right, Sachor Secharticha, and even names the child Yisachar, right? Which, if you remember, is the, right, the key to the story, according to Chazal, right? This is also the key to Rachel's, quote-unquote, schar, that allows her to contend to God that he should have mercy on the Jewish people. So, let's try question one, right? What is the Dudaim, right? Why does Rachel want them? So, right, so one possibility that the Mefarshim bring, and if you look in Source 5, I just brought the summary. So some Mefarshim say is that it was Rav Yesh Omrim ki yo ilu leherayon. That's in the second line. Some say that's what it was, right? It would help her with fertility, and that's what she really wanted. But the Ramban says, v'anochi lo yadati bavur shetolam kara ilu dvarav. Right, I'm not sure this is true. And he says, "Vanachon." It seems that the simplest understanding, "Kirat Saba and Lishtashen Lidaneg Brechan." No, she just wanted the flowers. Kibit Filan Ifkedar Rachel Lo Bederach Harefuot. And what's his evidence is that Rachel, right, it doesn't end up helping. Right, Rachel, right, the process she goes through the whole time is prayer, and in fact, that's what she's answered for in the end. And he brings this. And also he goes on, right, and he just notes that at the end, and the Ramban just claims, he said, it could be, but I have no evidence that that's true, and I've looked through the books, the science books, and you know, this doesn't have that property. The Dudim doesn't, right? So the Mefarshim who take that approach, that it's a fertility drug, are clearly trying to answer the problem, is why does she want the Dudaim? But the simplest read of the pasuk is that that's not it. Like, and how would Reuven have known that? Right? Where did Reuven go that he found this magic fertility drug? And to be fair, if Reuven, the six-year-old, could have found these magic fertility drugs, then why, after years and years and years of wanting a child, didn't Rachel go out and get them herself, right? It doesn't sound like it's some magic drug. This is the young child Reuven, right? If in fact that's what's going on, that it's a magic fertility drug, then Rachel should have found it before, right? Why, right? But it sounds like that's not it. And if you look at the psukim, right, it doesn't sound like she wants the dudaim. What does she want, right? Carefully, what does she want? She wants the child's flowers. And Leah's response is not, why do you want the dudaim? It's, why do you want the dudaim of my child, right? You took my husband, now you want to take my child's flowers. Why is Leah so obsessed with these flowers? It sounds like they're both obsessed with it. And Leah doesn't need it for fertility reasons. So it sounds like that's not it. So what Ray Foreman suggests here, which I think is very clever, is that, right, that what's going on at this moment is actually, right, we have to take a step back and step into Rachel's mind and into Leah's mind. Leave aside what we know about Chazal for a second and read the story. Right? Rachel clearly blames Leah for her situation. Leah clearly blames Rachel for her situation. Right? We know that. But who didn't know that? Leah and Rachel. This is the first conversation that we have about this. And until now, they are each having children. They're complaining to God by naming their children, but they never talk to each other. So what we know at this point is that Rachel and Leah have been stewing, right? But let's take a step into their minds, right? Why would Rachel be angry at Leah? Well, it's pretty obvious. Like, she was supposed to marry Yaakov and Leah did instead. Why would Leah be angry at Rachel? Right, because she really loves her, and right, she didn't do it on purpose. Right, her father had forced her into the situation, so she understands that it was hard for Rachel. She knows that Yaakov worked for Rachel, but at the end of the day, it wasn't her fault. And then Rachel, ended up marrying her, and doomed Leah to a life of the second class wife. Who, sure, she's married to Yaakov, but she's the hated wife. Right, so they're each blaming each other. But, right, until this moment, they never talked about it. So, when you don't talk about it, right, what do people tend to do? They tend to not see the other person's perspective. Rachel was thinking, how could Leah be so insensitive, right? Doesn't she realize that, like, I gave up Yaakov for her, and Yaakov really loved me, and this situation is really hard, and look, I'm not having children, and here she wasn't supposed to be the wife, and she's having the children, and I'm sitting... here waiting, and everyone's having children except for me. This is really hard. I was supposed to be Yaakov's wife. And Leah doesn't seem to be showing me any pity, right? She's just keeps having kids, and all she can say is, oh, God has seen my pain. What pain? Your pain? My pain, right? Yaakov has loved me. He worked for me. You were the intruder. And Leah the whole time is thinking, look, I understand, but it's not my fault. It's my father's. And Rachel, you should have just said, you know what? Okay, it's hard, but you shouldn't have then forced yourself into the marriage. You should have said no at that point. What's done is done. So when does it come out? So what he suggests is, right? This is that Reuven. It's not that there's a magic to this. It sounds like this is the first time that Reuven is old enough to go out and pick flowers for his mother. Right? That's what it sounds like. Simple read of the psukim. He goes out and he picks flowers. Right, so now let's take a step into both of their heads. Right? Rachel looks at the situation, and what is she thinking? that should have been my child. Where's my nachas, right? This is supposed to be my husband, my children. I'm stuck and I don't have any children. So she says, you know what? Maybe Leah will have a little bit of pity on me and will let me share with her nachas. I can't... It's not fair. But you know what? Maybe my sister will have a little bit of mercy on me and will let me share in her nachas, right? Will let her... Will give me some of the flowers. You know, bring me into the family, right? I don't have... I don't have kids to make drawings to put on my wall, right? To put on my refrigerator. I have my my co-wife's kids. Maybe my sister will share the nachas with me, and she—that's why she wants them. She says, "Can I have some of your son's flowers, right? Can I take one of the drawings from Gan and put it on my fridge, right? Make me feel like I can have nachas. I'm stuck in this marriage without children, and you have so many children." Let me share your nachas. But Leah, who's, right, hasn't been thinking about it from Rachel, right, thinks this is crazy because in her head, right, I'm the first wife. Rachel imposed on me, right, and now she wants to steal my nachas. I don't get my husband, right? My husband loves Rachel, but at least I have children. Fine, so you are the main wife, but I'm the mother. And now you want to take my nachas? Right? You want to take that also? You know what? It's unfair. Fine, it's unfair. Yeah, you took my husband, right? But you want to take my children, right? It's not enough for you, right? That's her language, right? Right? Hame'at kachtechid ishi. You've already taken my husband. Lakachad gam edudei b'ni. Now you want my kids' flowers and other flowers. It's, you want my kids' nachas? Give me something, right? And they suddenly have a conversation for the first time. And Rachel realizes that Leah feels like she's been wronged. And Leah realizes that Rachel feels that she's been wronged. But they've never talked about it before. So, what could have happened at this moment? Rachel could have exploded and said, steal your nachas. I'm not stealing your nachas. This should have been mine. Really? Really? You accuse me of taking your husband? He worked 7 years for me, and you won't even give me flowers, you won't even give me nachas, right? That's how you view the situation, that I'm the criminal? Right, but she doesn't. What does she say? Right, now let's go back. What does she say? Wait. You thought that I stole your husband? You've been living with that pain the whole time? Okay, you know what? I have an idea. Let's trade. I want nachas, give me the flowers. What do you want? To feel like Yaakov wants you. Okay. Lachen yishgav imach halayla. Let's start again. Yaakov was supposed to come to me tonight. Right? Let him go to you. I'm initiating it. I'm telling you. Right? Let Yaakov come to you. Let you feel like the true wife. Let's trade. You have Yaakov, I'll get nachas. Vayavo Yaakov minasa debayrev. And Leah, right, now sees Yaakov coming in. What does she say? Sachor sichartiha. The language stolen from Yaakov buying Rachel. But what does that mean? Sachor sichartiha. We're resetting the clock. Until now, I've always felt like you didn't want me because you worked for Rachel. So let's reset it. Now I've worked for you. I've initiated the relationship for you. Right? This is, the relationship is not, you know, this is not, oh, you wanted Rachel. It's, I've initiated, right? She's becoming the Yaakov and she's saying, you know, let's start again. Sachor sechartecha. Right? Not second best, but I've initiated the relationship. Right, Sachor Sechadira Bidudei Beni. Vaishma Elokim et Leah, and right, God listens to Leah and gives her a son, Yisachar, which is Natan Elokim Sechari. Now this child, therefore, is the product, not just of Nachas, but is the schar of her schar, meaning this is the first child where she feels like she's having a child. Right, and it's an expression of her relationship with Yaakov. It's not just a replacement because now she's entered into this relationship. And at that moment, right, God suddenly listens to Rachel, right? And says, Asaf Elokim et Cherpati. God gives Rachel her own nachas. Why? Because that moment where Rachel understood what Leah had been thinking, and Leah had understood what Rachel had been doing, and instead of exploding at each other for this unfair understanding of the situation, Rachel took a step out of herself and said, I get it. You know what? I never thought about it from your perspective. Let's try to make things right. Right? I will give you Yaakov, and then God will give me a child. Right? Because you're right. Both of us were victims. Right? Neither of us, this is not an ideal situation for either of us. You wanted to feel like Yaakov loved you. I want nachas. So let's try it. Right? Let's try to mend that relationship. I'll try to see it from your perspective. So now if we come back to the Midrash and we put the evidence together, right? The schar, what is the critical moment? What's the schar of Rachel? Right? Yisachar. The product of that moment where she allows Leah to initiate the relationship, to have a, right, not a tricked relationship, but an open relationship where she acknowledges that Leah has the right to be the wife.
It's not a trick,
Leah goes out and says, Sachor Sachartiha, right? They're open about it, right?
No, but Yaakov has no idea what's going on. He's still in the same position as he was in the beginning.
No, she says, Sachor Sachartiha bedudei b'ni.
Right,
right?
He's not getting an option.
He's not getting an option. That's true. Yaakov's not getting an option. But, right, Rachel, at this moment, did what?
She compromised.
Now we go back to the Midrash, right? Now let's imagine it. Let's forget the wedding night for a moment. But the sort of players in the wedding night story are Yaakov is unwitting one way or the other, right? The Midrash says that essentially Rachel is responsible for Leah marrying Yaakov, meaning she holds the cards, right? Now let's come to this story. Who holds the cards to Yaakov? Right, Rachel. And she gives them to Leah. She allows Leah to initiate a relationship with Yaakov. Right? Meaning, right? Yeah, Yaakov is not the player here. The issue at hand is the relationship between Rachel and Leah. Right?
I have a question. Sorry. Could it be, though, that Yaakov is always going to Rachel because he likes to talk to her and be with her more?
Right, that's...
So therefore, it wouldn't have happened. He would just ever go to Leah's tent. I'm just thinking. By what you're saying, so that she makes it specifically arranged. Even though she has gotten pregnant and has children.
Right, no, it's clear that his main tent is by Rachel.
So if he never ends up going there because he doesn't really want to go, so she's really facilitating.
Yeah, that's what Rachel is doing. Rachel is saying, you know what, I'm going to set up a date. Right? That's what I'm ready to do. She's saying, you know what, tonight was supposed to be my night, right? No, you know what? Go out on a date, right? You know, you are clearly having marital problems, right? Take time off, right? Go, right? I'll babysit, right? Right, go on a date, right?
And she's. Hasn't she been rewarded for the first time she did that, the initial time? Isn't that the bigger reward?
So now coming back to that, right, is what Rabbi Foreman claims is that it's not that this story ever happened at the wedding, right? Because. In fact, right, if it had happened at the wedding, right, they would have, right, right, really, then yeah, Rachel and Leah shouldn't have hated each other this way. Rachel, what he claims that what Chazar is saying is that Rachel transformed what happened by mending it later. That at this moment, when Rachel realized how Leah viewed the situation, and she said, you know what, let's start again. It's not that Chazal are saying that the story actually happened, that Rachel actually gave the simanim to Yaakov, because it didn't, right? At the beginning of that story, we saw until this point, Rachel hates Leah, and Leah hates Rachel, and they're both blaming each other, right? At what moment is it as if Rachel had willingly let Leah into this relationship? Here. So what Foreman claims Chazal are doing is not claiming that that story actually happened with the wedding, but that the hurt feelings, so to speak, that happened because of the wedding were mended retroactively when Rachel took a step back and was willing to step into Leah's shoes and try to fix it. Right? That at this moment, they've recreated the wedding. Right? That's the language that's alluding to. Sachor Sechartiha. Right? Until now, you're right. The wedding didn't happen. Right? This way. There wasn't this peaceful, right, Rachel getting over to Leah. It was as the Psukim describe. It was this deceitful relationship where Rachel blames Leah and Leah blames Rachel, and that's just the way it was. What happened at this moment was they got a chance to mend it, right? To fix it by stepping into the other person's perspective. Rachel, instead of exploding at Leah and saying, "What do you mean he worked for me for 7 years?" Right? She says, "You know what? I understand why you would blame me. And I'm sorry," right? It's not that I don't think I'm right, right? But I realize that we're both right, that we both were victims. Let's see if we can fix it. Let's see if you can start a new relationship with Yaakov, that from now on, you will feel part of, as a wife, right? I'm giving you that chance, right? So that's what she does. And Leah is so happy. Sachor Sechartiha. Right? I get it. And the child she names, right, Yisachar, is the product of that type of relationship. And at that moment, God says, you know what? It's time for Rachel to get her nachat. And that's what Rachel says. Asaf Elokim et Cherpati. He's, right, given me what I've wanted. And if you note from the continuation of the stories, what do we not have anymore after the story?
Kids.
Well, we don't have kids, right? Well, we do. We eventually have Binyamin when Rachel dies, but we don't have fighting, right? We're done, right? And the kids aren't named after the fights either, right? Right? Zvulun is just, right, Zeved Tov, it's a gift, right? And Apam Yizbaleni Ishi, right? Right? It's, now it's talking about the positive relationship, right? It's not that now he'll escort me, now he's heard my pain. It's, now, right? Now, my husband will endow me with kindness, right? It's right, everything is positive from now on.
Sorry, can you explain 18?
V'tomer Leah, Natan Elohim Schari, Asher Natati Shivchati Li'ishi, right? That he's given me reward for, right? So the Natan Shivchati is hard, right? And it could be, right, that Leah didn't get it. Right? It could be that it was only Rachel who got it. Right? That what Chazal are saying, that she, Leah still thinks, is why is she being rewarded? Right? Right? It could be she never sees it. Right? And that she thinks she's getting rewarded for, right, trying to have children with Yaakov. Right? It could be that she, that she understands that Rachel now sees it from her perspective, but never fully sees it from Rachel's perspective. Right? Which would make sense with the Midrash. The Midrash never ascribes to Leah, right, this moment, it ascribes it to Rachel. So maybe it's only Rachel, maybe it's really Rachel who steps into it, right? Which would fit with the story that Chazal tell, right? That Rachel is the one who gets the rights to cry and not Leah. So that could be, that might definitely be true in the Midrash, yeah?
Why does she say that, just before that, that now my husband will make my permanent home with me because I have borne him 6 sons?
And in which pasuk?
19.
Oh, 19. Right. So again, so it may be that the proper way to read it would be that Leah never fully got it. Right. That right. Leah thought that Rachel was really in the wrong and never fully saw her perspective. Right. So Rachel gives her the opportunity to do that. Right. And Leah keeps feeling like she's in the right. Right. So maybe that's a better way of reading the Midrash, right? That Leah still thinks, no, right? Rachel's in the wrong, and now he'll make my permanent home by me. So maybe that's the better way to read the Midrash. But what would come out from the story is that maybe what Chazal are doing is reading, is not saying that really Rachel gave the signs to Leah. They're looking in the story, and they see, in fact, it was fraught with fighting from the beginning, because Leah felt that Rachel should have just given up at that point, right? Why enter her into this problematic marriage for the rest of her life? And Rachel really felt like she was in the wrong, that Leah was in the wrong, and then Rachel was in the right, because, she knows that Yaakov loved her. And they never see each other's perspective, right? And then the moment comes where, Rachel feels totally wronged, And she says, you know, Leah owes me, right? All I want is a little bit of nachas. I want to feel like I have a family. Leah explodes at her. And instead of Rachel exploding back, right, she understands it. And she says, you know what? Okay, right? So be with my husband. Try to build a relationship. I'm not going to stand in your way of having a good relationship with Yaakov. And Leah takes that and says, Sachor Sechartichah, right? And at that point, right, Rachel gets rewarded and gets her own child. So it could be that what Chazal are saying is not that this story happened, but that Rachel, at least, maybe not Leah, but Rachel fixed the relationship from her perspective. She was willing to step out of herself, hear Leah's contention, hear the story from Leah's side, and instead of just saying, you know what, how dare you think that, right, that I'm at fault, she put away, she put aside her perspective and she said, you know what, I will try to make it better from your perspective, right? And that's what Chazal are saying, that Yisachar, the product of the Dudaim story, is the key to Rachel's reward. That's why God listens to her. It was her ability, right, to put aside her contentions and to listen to the other, right? And that's why Chazal read into the story, and they say, right, what's going on is that Rachel's right, so to speak, to say to God comes from this, is that, right, Rachel says to God, right, as Chazal constructed, is, you're getting angry about idolatry, which is meaningless. I had a real struggle with my sister. A real struggle. There really was tension. And despite the fact there was tension, I was willing to give up on my relationship with my husband so to understand her side. And I was willing to put aside my jealousy. And you're going to be jealous of idolatry, right? If you listen to that language, it's, I actually had a reason to be jealous, and despite that, I let Leah try to create a real relationship. That's her contention to God. You shouldn't be afraid of the idols. So sure, they did something wrong, but it's not a real threat. This is a real threat, right? By letting Yaakov, by letting Leah initiate a relationship with Yaakov, right? She's not just understanding the other side, she's actually doing something about it that costs her something. It costs the sort of, until this point, singular relationship that Yaakov has had with Rachel. But she was willing to give it up for somebody else. So, pulling it together, right? Sometimes what Midrash is doing is not saying that a story actually happened. What it's doing is trying to pick up on a theme in the story and pull it out by creating a story that gets the message across. So what Rabbi Foreman suggests is that that's what's going on here, is that, in fact, Rachel and Leah fought and fought and fought and fought until this moment. And at this moment, Rachel at least, maybe not Leah, Rachel was willing to say, you know what, I understand your perspective and I'm going to try to fix it. And even though I still want nachas and I still want my kids, and right, her cherpa, right, her humiliation is only finished when she has her child, I'm going to do something to recognize your rights and your perspective. I'm going to go out of my way to make room for you. And what they're doing by telling the wedding story is not that that actually happened at the wedding, but at this moment, by allowing Leah to initiate a relationship that wasn't done deceptively, maybe it was done forcefully, right? But it wasn't done deceptively, right? Where Leah is able to go and say, you know what? We're going to start again. We're going to have a relationship that's you and me, not me because you thought I was Rachel. That's where Chazal saw that power that Rachel had, right, to give up of herself for her sister, right? Not at the time of the wedding, but that she sort of mended the relationship that had existed since the wedding by stepping into Leah's shoes and trying to fix it at this moment. So that is a perspective on this story, which tries to sort of pull together the pieces at the beginning and the end of the story and try to figure out what message Chazal are trying to get. So, and we finished just.